I'm Anita Lustria, and this is Faith Conversations. And today, I'm so excited because Lori Neff is sitting across the table from me. Lori, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, this is great fun. And for those, I mean, lots of former Midday listeners certainly know who you are. For those that are new to me through Faith Conversations, Lori and I worked together in our previous job on a live radio program called Midday Connection. Lori was the producer, and she also hosted on air and did a variety of things. But so we go way back, and it's really fun to be back together again in
it
this
is.
Context.
Yeah, it feels so natural.
I know,
behind the microphone.
It? Kind of funny.
With you.
So you just fall right back into
yeah.
it. So tell, I'll let you kind of give your current bio, because I don't know your exact title. I don't have anything in front of me.
Yeah, I am a marketing manager for InterVarsity Press in Illinois. We are the publishing arm of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. Most people have at least heard of that. I wasn't exposed to it as a college student myself because I went to a Christian college. So, so this whole world is new to me of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and I'm a big fan of InterVarsity Press, and I've been here for just over a year.
And I'll just add on to that, that even while we were in our old job at Midday Connection, one of our favorite publishers was InterVarsity Press, and we would often talk with authors and folks from here because of the great content of the books, and so it's kind of cool that you're now a part of that.
I know.
And helping to you know, market and promote that terrific content.
Yeah, so. it's surprising to me to be on this end now of book publishing, and I get to work with all these great authors that we interviewed on Midday
Isn't
Connection.
Kind of crazy
now?
Yeah.
Fun.
What do you like best about your job? There's always this part of the job that, that's part of it, and I wish I could push that off on somebody else, but yeah, but what's the best part of it?
Let's see. It's actually a toss-up between two things. I love working with our authors. They are delightful people. And
working
smart.
With them means what?
Yeah. So it's different than radio.
Yes.
Where radio, you know, you have them for maybe an hour, and then that's the extent, really, of your relationship. Well, with publishing, I get to be with my authors for months, about 6 to 8 months before their book comes out. We have phone conversations, email, ideally face-to-face conversations when that's possible. And
you had one today, in fact.
I did.
Because I'm here at InterVarsity Press and have recorded with a couple of authors. So I know you had a meeting with one of those. So.
Yeah.
Fun.
So that is a great joy to me. I love hearing firsthand from authors. And then, of course, the second thing is these books are phenomenal. I've, you know, like you said, I was a big fan at Midday, but I love the books that InterVarsity Press publishes. And I kind of gush like that in every staff meeting. And people, my colleagues are always like, really? Really? You like all of them? And I'm genuinely, yes, I do. I just love the unique angles that we have on different topics. They're so nuanced.
Yes.
And just interesting.
Well, and very thoughtful
authors.
I mean, it's, I would call it, you know, it's a thoughtful Christian perspective. You're guaranteed of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're very careful about how we shape the line, the books that we publish. We want to make sure we're actually contributing to the conversation that's happening in our world and our culture. We don't want to just publish another book saying the same exact thing about a topic. So we really do want to move the conversation forward. And I love that thoughtfulness behind book acquisitions. That's been fun to see.
Do you see yourself ever moving to a different kind of position, you know, down the road? I mean, I know you're still learning all that you're doing within the marketing realm, but are there other types of jobs here or within publishing, you know, that appeal to you?
That is a good question. And I I don't right now. I
think of the acquisitions piece and wondered if you would be interested in that type of job down the road. I don't know.
What? That sounds so hard.
Well, I was just thinking, you know a whole lot more about it behind the scenes, what it takes to do that. And so you may you may say no for other reasons.
Right,
you know,
right.
I get that.
Yeah. You know, I think I see my role here maybe morphing a little bit here and there. There are aspects of my job that I really love and would like to lean into it, but it's not part of my job description necessarily. And we talk about how we can incorporate media, maybe a podcast or video or something with the press. And so those sort of things, I think there are some really fun opportunities. Yeah. And have felt the need to settle into my role, you know,
how that just takes time.
And then I can maybe open up some space to dream a little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting. The longer you're in a job, the more, I mean, the first year of a new position is... what's that word?
Horrible.
Exhausting.
Now, why did I never know this before a job change? That's what I want to know. This completely took me off guard.
I get that. I would agree. You know, I had a short stint, maybe about 9 months at Northern Seminary. I just remember thinking, I'm never going to learn this. And my boss at the time said, 6 months, you're going to wake up at 6 months. And I sort of did.
Yeah.
And then I was only there 9 months. So. But anyway.
Well, I had this mistaken impression that, okay, so the unemployment was hard after midday ended. Mm-hmm. This unemployment season was hard. So I thought, the goal is get a job. And then when I did get a job, I kind of thought, okay, well, there we go. It's all settled.
There we go.
Yes, I'll have a learning curve, but it's all settled now. So now I can move on. Oh, my. It has been really rough.
Okay, let's think of the things that you move into. Mm-hmm, okay, new job. Okay, face value. That, like you said, that's good. I've got a job. Mm-hmm. Check. That's off the list and a pretty important one to check off. Mm-hmm. New company culture.
Yeah.
Workplace culture. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the learning curve of the actual job if you're moving into a field that wasn't what you had been in. Mm-hmm. Even though there is a relationship, you could say it's just briefly touches. Right?
Yeah.
So I think it might have even looked like more of a relationship at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then you get into it, and it's like, okay, this is nothing like what I used to do, right?
Right.
So I think those two things alone, you know, new place of work, culture, and then the actual job itself. Mm-hmm. Those
are big. Yeah. And then toss in there, where are the paperclips? And where exactly am I printing to?
Right, yes.
Like all those little details. And then there's culture around the coffee maker and do's and don'ts.
Isn't that interesting?
You know,
well,
it's like
I'll
all
add
these
in,
things.
I'll add in, you also made a physical move.
Yeah.
You moved from a far northern suburb, or pretty far north, to a central to southern, you know, suburb. I mean, so, and so I would even say within that there's a culture change.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you had a double whammy there.
Yeah. You know, one of my colleagues has been really helpful for me in thinking through all these changes. He wrote a book, Singles at the Crossroads. Al Shee is his name.
Okay.
And I don't even know if the book is still in print, honestly. But he wrote a section in there about change. And he said that it's like 1,000 tiny breaks. When you have a big move or a big transition, as you reorient, you can't move in autopilot any longer. But everything that once was solid is actually, those connections are broken. So if you, I kind of picture these, like, I don't know, I have this weird picture in my head of like a connective tissue to things surrounding me. And now I've turned and I've transitioned, and all of
the ligaments
are snapping.
Snapping.
And it's not going to kill me. of course.
Yeah.
But it's going to hurt. And it takes time to heal and to build new connections, you know, now that I've turned. So
that's an interesting picture. And actually, when you said it, mm-hmm. when you started, you go 1,000 tiny, I thought you were going to say paper cuts.
Oh, yeah. And I've heard that one, too.
1,000 tiny paper cuts mm-hmm. where you're not going to die from it.
Yep.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Yeah.
So it
I don't know. It was a helpful picture really for me because I was having a hard time putting my hands around, like, what is this experience that I'm feeling? It's new and I can't quite put my words around it, but I don't like it.
And honestly,
and so this was helpful.
The other one that came to my mind as you started that 1,000 tiny was breakups.
Mm.
Because there's painful relational stuff that happens in moving and transitions. People who listen to Faith Conversations have heard me talk extensively about The Soul of a Pilgrim, Christine Walters Paintner, which talks about life transition. Mm-hmm. And and that helped me greatly. Mm-hmm. Just broader thoughts on, just big life change from moves to different kinds of... to moving to a different culture, which she did, moved to Ireland from the U.S. and I moved from north to south. There were some cultural things but same thing that you're, you know, that you're talking about. So big change. Mm-hmm. So you are how far in now? Over a year?
A year and 2 months.
Okay.
With all these changes. Yeah. And I just think, why did this take me off guard so much? And I, in my head, I'm like, well, nobody told me, but I'm wondering if I just did not have ears to hear or what. I
will give my perspective on
that. Yeah, tell me. No, I really, I'd like
to know.
I think
about you and I think, okay, here's Lori. I felt myself sooner or later transitioning out of midday connection. I hadn't put a mental date on that. Didn't expect an abrupt ending to it, but I thought, I'll transition out of this, and Lori Neff will move right in and take over for me. And you had started hosting on the air. So to me, another piece of this is, here you are on the cusp of this big, fun, interesting, cool job, when it was, right? And then, boom, that spigot is turned off for you, where I had already...
Yeah, it's a movement.
Yes, I was feeling the move out, but you were just feeling the move in.
Toward,
I mean, that's a piece of it, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I definitely feel that because I feel like I had just found my voice and felt like, oh, this is how, like, I'm going to feel fulfilled and how God is going to use me. I mean, and I did put a lot of this on God, right or not.
Sure.
And then when I felt like he took that away from me, that smarted. Yeah.
I'll go on and I'll ask this question, see if this rings true. Because I love that you just said, and I was moving toward and I just found my voice. I would venture, I'm going to go on to say, you felt like you'd found your voice. I bet you have a different voice today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That than the voice that you were moving toward and into.
Yes. Yes.
And probably actually feel more yourself and more like you found your voice than 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yes, that is very true. And in ways I never could have even seen or known. That I could, I'm trying to think this through because I do feel that there, I am growing in ways in this job that I did not even know that I could
that
use
you had
that
capacity
nudge,
for,
nudge toward growth and using my voice into that. And I, you know, I have much more room for growth in using, you know, don't we all, in using our voices. But I think you're right. I think I'm feeling more true. And it's interesting because now that my safe network of midday connection, our team was a really safe place for me. With that removed, I've really had to stand on my feet, on my own 2 feet more, and being my own advocate in a lot of ways, which is really different.
And really interesting that we have heard that from many past listeners. Like, oops, that's gone. Okay, the tools are there, right? But why does growth have to, why is it always out of such crappy stuff we have to walk through? I mean, it's rarely is it, you know, that big mountaintop experience propelled me deeply into growth. It just, I don't know.
I know.
Not so much.
It does, it does seem like pain is the impetus.
Yeah.
It's the nudging moving us to growth. So I was reading this morning, surprise, surprise. So I'm reading a galley. Oh, get this. I'm reading a galley of Sharon Garlow Brown's last book in the Sensible Shoes series. Oh, you guys, if you have not read Sensible Shoes, I recommend it. It's a just a beautiful series.
And a series of how many books?
This is the fourth book and the last one. It is fiction. But she has this beautiful way of weaving in spiritual disciplines and just authenticity and growth and community.
It's almost its own genre. It's really interesting, isn't it?
It's lovely. Yeah, it is hard. It's hard to do justice in a short phrase. But anyway, I was reading that this morning, and she actually had in the front of her book this poem.
Okay.
And I brought that, and it kind of ties into what we're talking about. It's called Roads. It's by Ruth Bidgood. I'm not familiar with her, but you might be. And it goes like this. No need to wonder what heron-haunted lake lay in the other valley, or regret the songs in the forest I chose not to traverse. No need to ask where other roads might have led, since they led elsewhere. For nowhere but this here and now is my true destination. The river is gentle in the soft evening, and all the steps of my life have brought me home. Wow, isn't that good?
Can we cry now and go home?
No.
Wow.
Isn't that beautiful?
Wow.
There's something so accepting, and like I feel my hands open up when I read that, like, you know, and like my heart open up a little bit more to not resist where I am right now or second guess or think, oh, if onlys, you know, each step really has brought me to where I am, and that leads me to some acceptance and seeing the beauty in where I am, because it's my story that's brought me here.
Whew. Okay. It's easier said than done.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially if it's a painful story.
Yeah.
If, you know, yeah. I mean, I think probably all of us have some sort of pain in our history.
Pain, regret, sadness of what might have been, however you want to word it, right? It's really, really interesting.
And I think it's where I am right now. I think the season that I'm in right now is leading me toward acceptance. I don't know. I know I could not have read this a year ago and been like,
Right.
No way. I think I'm at that space where I'm being invited to settle in and like take root here. You know, all of those, the connective tissue has ripped, know, from my past.
Yeah.
I'm building new connective tissue and I want to, like, I actually can say now that I do want to dig in here.
I'm also thinking about some of the whys of why it was so painful. I mean, there are many reasons, I believe, but I'll just talk about the community that our specific team had, the community culture that, that we had. And one of the things that that community was known for was authenticity. So it takes a lot of time to develop new relationships where you can go to the depth of the relationships that we had developed within that team. Now, part of it was because of the kinds of material that we were reading and talking about day in and day out. And part of it is just we had worked together over time, and we also had we had deepened over time as individuals and collectively as a community. So
It was unique.
Yes.
I tell you. Yeah. And such a gift. I think we knew that then. Mm-hmm. But I think I've come to the conclusion I will probably never find a community like that again.
Oh, Lori, that's is super saddening because having made a physical move. Well, and you did too, like you from northern suburb down to where you are now, closer to your current work. Mm-hmm. And Mike and I having moved from the Chicago area to Sarasota, and that's my probably the biggest deal. Can I? Is it possible to, you know, to develop?
What do you think? Is that
I'm really struggling. And now, granted, I've only been there 6 months.
Yeah.
But I'm realizing it takes time. It always takes time to develop friendships. Mm-hmm. But then to take them to the depth and to find really like-minded and to take them to the depth that really feeds the soul. Mm-hmm. So I think you layer in on that our personality types as well, Lori, right? Mm-hmm. Those that, you know, when I go to a party, I can probably speak for you here, you know. Like, I mean, there's some fun. There's the fun of the party, but a successful party to me is, you know, those one or two deeper conversations.
Yes.
Finding someone and just plunking down in a corner. It's too overwhelming to see the room.
If tears are involved, bonus.
All the better.
Yes.
Great. It's hilarious. So true. And anyway, that's good. So yes, I mean, 6 months has not cut it, has not happened yet, you know, but the other piece of that, realizing it does help. Mike and I both realize we didn't move there and into a new job, which does at least have a built-in group of people that might ask how you're doing or that they know your name day in and day out as the new person. Still takes time, of course, but we didn't have any community we were moving into. So we couldn't even start developing anything until we found a church, and that takes visiting around and, you know, all that, all that piece, right? All that. Grateful for neighbors directly to our north, who are fantastic and do feel like they were a direct gift from God.
Oh, good. Yeah.
You know, but actually both sides, but one set of neighbors are snowbirds and not there, and the other set are there year round with like we are. So.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, so I'm fearful that your statement could be true, that we will never experience anything quite like that.
Quite like it. I mean, I do not despair that we will not experience depth in relationships, but I think the depth to what we had in our little close-knit team, that was unique. And I think the circumstances were unique.
Right.
And I think having experienced that makes it hard to not compare.
Well, and I'll even say that a painful piece, I've never said this on the podcast, that a painful piece of moving forward was the constant chorus of people saying, you're amazing. You know, I know you heard the same thing. You'll have a new, big, great job in no time. You'll be snatched up.
You know what? That's a lie. That is a big fat lie. And it drove me crazy when people said that.
I agree.
And then after a while, like during my unemployment, I mean, okay, that was a strong statement of mine, but I stand by it. But
I stand by it with you.
Thank you. But I know where that's coming from. And I think people, they want to say something encouraging. And maybe they do actually believe that. I don't see that anywhere in scripture.
Well, I was going to say, it was sometimes overlaid with the spiritual piece of, you know, God's going to open a great door. Well, how do you know that?
Yeah, no,
That may may not happen. Mm-hmm. Right? That'd be great. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and it's not to say the door that opened wasn't great, but it was a lot different than what we thought it might be or had, you know, I didn't anticipate that I'd be. Have moved.
Me either. Why did you move? Anyway, moving on.
Okay. So
yeah, it's different, and I think that is what we can say with certainty, that it'll be different,
right,
from what we have now. But I mean, I I love my job. I love my colleagues. Is it better?
Huh. It's different.
Mm, it's different.
And that will always be the response because it is.
It's different. Yeah. And yeah, I like what I do. And, you know, you hear my excitement when I talk about the books that we publish, which is great. But it's different. And I still get sad when I think about what we used to do mm-hmm. in this radio program together and the close community that we had and the conversation, the depth of conversation that we had every day sitting in your office.
Yeah.
And,
I know.
Yeah. And I miss it and I may always miss it. Yeah. Can I just jettison us just a little
please,
bit to like a side thing?
Yeah.
So I will always miss that and that will always be a sadness. Yeah. So what I cannot figure out is what do you do with that particular grief of like, you know, that was so fabulous. It was hard.
Yeah.
Too. You mm-hmm. know, every scenario has difficulties. But like, I don't know. It seems like even if that were my choice to leave, that would be hard. And so I think one of the things I've been wrestling with, some of my friends that I've made here in this mm-hmm. in this community are, you know, they've made some life choices that are hard. Like some of the consequences of those choices of where they live or what they're doing are just hard, but they've made this decision to do it. And I don't know, this could be my privileged American view, but I'm just like, wow, if you like, why wouldn't you move toward happiness and fulfillment? But I know you can't always do that. Do you know what I mean? I guess I haven't quite figured out how to articulate this tension that I'm picking up in some people's lives. And
someone's listening right now saying, ask this question, but the question's not coming to me. I'm just taking it in.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how to sit in that place of, I don't like this, but this is where I am. Although, as I say that, boy, that has been my life in a lot of ways. I feel like maybe that has been imposed on me, but it hasn't necessarily been my choice.
Well, I'm even thinking our past job. There were things that we would sit there and go, I don't like this piece.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. But this is where we are. You know, it was the community piece that we loved and certainly interaction with listeners and growth.
So maybe the good outweighs the negative of what we're feeling. Or I guess there's part of me, I hear people say, I'm committed to this because I feel God has called me here. But if you're miserable, is that really?
Oh, I think that's a worthy question.
I think I wrestle with this sometimes. And I'm not judging. I'm just like wondering.
Yeah. And you're not sitting here saying you're miserable. But
you're
sad.
Not me.
I get that.
But And I guess I'm thinking of some of my.
But I do think that there are those griefs, those sadnesses that will be until the day.
Yeah, right.
Of Christ's return.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
for sure.
I think, and I think some of those griefs, whatever they may be, maybe it's a lost child or a miscarriage, child not ever fully known, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, I think of the wonderful book your colleague Al Shee has written. Mm-hmm. What's the title of it?
Grieving a Suicide.
Grieving a Suicide. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's you're grieving a suicide. You know, so I think some of the griefs of this world, experiences that we have, we will carry.
Yeah.
Until we are gone from this world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of those griefs are what keep us yearning and longing for what we know comes beyond this place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how I view it.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily like that response really, but.
Yeah, that reminds me of I'm reading another book by Amy Simpson.
Oh, yes.
She wrote the book.
Troubled Minds.
Yeah, Troubled Minds.
In the past.
And her new book is Blessed Are the Unsatisfied.
Which I love that title.
And it's just all about this, how So we can hear so many messages that Jesus is everything you need to be fully satisfied in this life. No. Baloney.
Say not more, Lori.
True.
Because I think many in my sphere or in the past sphere would go, yay and amen. No, yes, of course.
That Jesus does fulfill all your, And so, I just heard that in, I was visiting a friend's church a week before last, and that was the predominant message. And so internally I'm like, wait, I haven't finished reading the book. So it is all about like what you were saying, how that longing inside of us is pointing to something greater. We just will not be fully satisfied here. We're not meant to be fully satisfied here. And
on one hand it is, but and it also on the other hand explains our attempts. Yes. I mean, our continual attempts to find complete and total fulfillment here. Mm-hmm.
And then we feel guilty when, you know, when we're told you will find everything you need in Jesus. Well, I know Jesus and but I'm not fully satisfied. So then what's wrong with me? That's the flaw there. It's not meant, that's not the equation. It's not supposed to be that way.
So interesting.
Yeah. So read the book, everybody.
Yeah. When does it come out?
Oh, it doesn't come out until February 2018.
Oh, wow.
So yeah.
Pre-teaser.
I know. Sorry.
Wetting our appetites.
It's going to be, I really think it's going to be an important book in the evangelical sphere, especially. Mm. I grew up with those messages. And so it's pressing me a little and causing me to think this through. It's not been in my experience I've wrestled with this message that Jesus is everything that you need to be fully satisfied in this world. That's not been my experience. And so then what do you do with that? And so this book is helping put words to that. It's pretty helpful. Interesting.
All right. I'll take that and think about that and for a while. That's good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll look forward to that. Amy's a good writer too.
She is. Yeah.
Yeah. I like her a lot. Let me go back for a second to all the books that you're reading.
Mm, mm-hmm.
I want to know how many. Did you say at the beginning? I don't think on the record. Did you say? Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you say 50?
Like 50. Mm-hmm.
All right. How do you physically, how do you do that? And how do you maintain another life outside
sanity,
of work?
Sanity. Yeah.
Yeah. And sanity. And personal reading.
Like fun reading.
Because you're doing, fun reading. Thank you. That's the word. Mm-hmm. Fun reading.
Mm-hmm.
Not that these aren't fun and all that, but you're dealing with heavy topics a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all nonfiction, except for the kind of the
shoes,
crossover genre of sensible shoes. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So I get asked this question a lot. How do I read so many books? And I do try to read books outside of InterVarsity Press books because I do want to be exposed to just different thoughts and different ways of articulating. I don't want to become so narrow that I only read our books. So, for example, I just read Small Great Things.
Yeah.
Is it Jody
Picoult?
Picoult. Uh huh. Yeah. However you say your last name.
Yeah.
I listen to that. So I do listen to a lot of audiobooks.
Okay.
And that was a good book. Mm. Profanity alert, though. It's, sure. And of course there's racial slurs that are appropriate to the story. Or not appropriate, but you would expect it with the story. So anyway, that's just a fantastic book. So I listen to audiobooks when I walk to and from work. And sometimes when I do laundry and just whenever I can. I don't watch a lot of TV.
I was just going to ask your television viewing is or movie viewing, not much.
No, I definitely, movies I don't watch at all anymore, which is kind of sad. Mm. But it's okay. It's okay. Not a lot of them are appealing to me right now. I get really antsy. So if I do watch television, I'll watch just like really short episodes and then be done. So,
And the nice thing is you can watch on a Hulu or Netflix minus commercials, which does make them really short episodes.
Yeah, 20 minutes.
That's great.
Yeah. And so I usually have two or three books that I dabble in the morning, read like a chapter in each of them in the morning first thing. And then I bring a lighter book that I read around over lunchtime.
That's smart.
Most of my colleagues read over lunch too. It's very funny. It's so different from radio.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it seems like people are more rowdy. Talk. Yeah. So, so most people have their nose in a book around here. And then I'll read a little bit in the evening. I always have a book with me always, when I'm in the car, when I'm waiting, you know, in line or, you know, if it's I like small books for that reason. So yeah, I feel like I'm consuming a lot of material all the time and it does get overwhelming. And
that's what I wondered.
And I feel like when I read, I feel like, oh, this is so good. I want to retain this. And then just because I have to keep reading and just have to keep moving forward with all of these books that I'm reading. And so that makes me sad.
Do you take notes for retention? Like even work retention? I mean, I suppose you might
underline a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, in star and highlight and things like that. That helps. But even then, I feel like there's got to be some sort of journal or something that I could maybe write here are like the top two quotes or something, or here are the main themes that I came away from. I just haven't pulled the trigger on the journal, but I would like to.
Yeah.
And I feel like, well, I'm so far
down the road.
Down the road. It's like now where do I start? But I just need to like start.
I know. That was like me starting the 5-year journal.
Oh yeah.
That I gave to friends like you and Melinda.
That's so
that
funny.
I kept in my bedstand for 4 years.
Yeah.
Everyone's 4 years down the road and theirs now.
That's funny.
But I did start it.
Oh, good for
in
you.
In February.
Oh, good. Well done.
I have no idea what propelled
I've
me.
Totally dropped mine. I haven't journaled. So instead of journaling, I'm reading.
Yeah, well, you're right. You know, you only have so much time.
I know.
Yeah, I hold up my son John as my example, who's faithful day in and day out. And
good
is
for
now,
him.
I guess, in year four. I don't know. Yeah. He'll periodically call me up and go, you won't believe what happened 4 years ago today.
Oh,
and he'll read me something.
That's great. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are great.
Too funny. let's see. I'm looking for that, you know, in this isn't radio, of course. Of course, I've had to transition to podcasting, which is totally different.
Right. Yeah.
Or a different mindset, which I don't know that I have yet.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I'm trying. And so you're always looking for the best place to land the plane.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I would love to have you read this again.
This poem.
Yeah.
It's called Roads by Ruth Bidgood. It's Bidgood. No need to wonder where the heron-haunted lake lay in the other valley, or regret the songs in the forest I chose not to traverse. No need to ask where other roads might have led, since they led elsewhere. For nowhere but this here and now is my true destination. The river is gentle in the soft evening, and all the steps of my life have brought me home.
So we are where we are.
Yeah. Wherever we are.
Yeah.
Too. I was even thinking about you being here instead of home in Florida. It's like, you know, your steps have brought you here.
Yeah. Back
for
here
a time.
For a time.
For a time. Yeah. And then,
And then back again. But that's really interesting.
Yeah.
All the steps of my life have brought me home. Which goes back to earlier today, I recorded with Josh Larson and one of the movies that I raised with him. And, you know, you talked about this with the poem, but that inner longing, that inner yearning that we will always have that will not be satisfied even while we have Jesus in this world.
Mm-hmm.
But I brought up the movie The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yeah.
Which from, I don't know how old I was when I first watched it, but I was a pretty small child, single digits. And that movie has stuck with me my entire life, that inner yearning and longing for home that you know, and that, of course, Dorothy comes back to this place to realize it's there within her.
Mm.
You know, no mm-hmm. place like home. She clicks her shoe. She's right there. She's mm-hmm. been there all along.
Yeah.
So I love the end of that poem. And all the steps of my life have brought me home. Well, Lori, nice to catch up. I mean, beyond nice. That just is so...
I know. It's always
doesn't
good to
state
talk
it
to you. Yeah.
At all. But thank you. This
yeah,
is great
you.
To have you on the podcast. So good. And we'll keep catching up even after I no longer am hitting record.
Oh, good.
In case
okay.
people are wondering. Well, we will continue
yes,
talking
we
and
will.
Having more laughs. So anyway, thanks for being with me.
Thanks.